Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 53 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
So when he came in on Monday, Detective Castle sat down and talked with him, and he confessed.
A Moorhead man is charged with a felony hate crime, and he is now out on bond.
A woman is dead after a house fire in Lexington.
Moorhead State Police are looking for a new captain.
Rowan County is in talks with MSU about making land deals.
Open enrollment on healthcare.gov begins today.
In sports, the final game of the World Series is tonight in Los Angeles.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers late tonight with lows around 55. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Moorhead man facing felony hate crime charges appeared in district court today. Jeffrey Masters was arrested on Tuesday for allegedly vandalizing property near McClure Circle on September 30th, including spray painting racially charged words and symbols on a house. Moorhead Police Captain Kyle Callahan says he isn't sure if Masters was targeting a particular group of people or individuals.
I don't know if he's a racist or not. I don't know. Nothing about that. I don't know the guy. I think that's been conveyed by the mayor and by the president of Moorhead State University. That's a terrible term. We don't condone that. We don't like it. You know, but I don't know exactly his feelings. I don't know how he feels on it. You know, we have to leave that for him to answer.
Masters was released on a $2,500 surety bond, which means no money was actually paid. If Masters does not show up for his next court date, however, whomever signed for his release will have to pay the full amount.
A woman has died following an overnight house fire in Lexington. WKYT reports 79-year-old Dixie O'Nan died of smoke inhalation after a fire at her home on Bellmead Road early Tuesday morning. Derry Dodge is O'Nan's neighbor.
She's a very loving lady, very caring type of person, and easy to talk to. When I found out this morning exactly what was going on or what had happened, that was very hard. And I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss her a lot.
The cause of the fire is under investigation, but Lexington firefighters say they usually see more house fires at this time of year due to holiday cooking, decorations, heating sources, and unused chimneys that get lit for special holiday occasions.
Two people, one of them a young girl, were hit by a truck while trick-or-treating Tuesday evening in Elkhorn City. According to WYMT, the driver, George Hackney, was under the influence when he backed his truck into the trick-or-treaters. The identities of the two people are unknown. The girl was taken to Pikeville Medical Center, and her condition is also unknown. Hackney was charged with DUI, wanton endangerment, reckless driving, and fourth-degree assault.
Eight people are facing charges accused of using a popular dating app to solicit sex from minors. According to WKYT, deputies say the arrests stem from an undercover operation in Boyle County. 28-year-old Paul Hilp II and 23-year-old Daquan Brown, both of Lebanon, 49-year-old Joseph Brown II of Danville, 40-year-old Justin P. Jones, and 33-year-old Mark Shelton, both of Stanford, and 39-year-old Sean Williams of Springfield were arrested in the case and now all face multiple charges. 46-year-old Michael Cruz of Columbus, Mississippi, and 52-year-old Hubert D. Carter of Ennis, Texas were also arrested. Police say two of the individuals are repeat offenders.
We'll have more of your local headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Moorhead State University Police Department has a key leadership position it hopes to fill soon. Since Captain Mike Trent retired a few months ago, that job has remained vacant. MSU is facing another round of state budget cuts, and it's filling position vacancies strictly based on extreme need situations. Chief Merle Harrison says the captain's job is a critical one for the MSU PD.
Oh, as a matter of fact, it is. It's important. All our positions are here are important, and that one is an important position too. We have to kind of piecemeal the task and duties in that job, and just kind of do the best we can with what we have.
At this point, Harrison doesn't know when he'll get the go-ahead to hire a new captain. Lieutenant Jared Hunt remains the chief's second in command.
Rowan County has been talking with Morehead State University about making some land deals. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says as part of those discussions, MSU's former Sunnybrook Golf Course has been brought up.
Working with Dr. Morgan, President Morgan, and trying to come up with some ways we can swap property or at least maybe make some deals on some property. I know he'd like to get rid of Sunnybrook. There's some other property I think that is considered surplus property they're going to have to do something with. We need some space not only for recreation facilities, but we also need a place somewhere here in the city for our ambulance service.
Blevins believes Rowan's magistrates are open to the idea of acquiring Sunnybrook, which reportedly has an assessed value of $350,000. The 200-acre property is located east of Morehead on U.S. 60. The county, the city of Morehead, and MSU have been discussing for over a decade the potential of turning Sunnybrook into a recreation park.
Governor Matt Bevin says new budget numbers will cause him to lower his proposed 17.4% spending cuts across all state agencies. On Monday, Bevin announced that new projections take the anticipated shortfall from $200 million down to $155 million. He says that means budget cuts will be lower, but he didn't say by how much.
The exact number we'll get to, but the bottom line is this. There will be cuts in spending, in everything. Not because anyone wants it, not because anyone likes it. It's because by law and by financial reality, in that we cannot spend money we don't have, we must.
Bevin went on to reiterate that state statute requires a balanced budget. Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear has said Bevin's cuts go further by also shoring up the rainy day fund, a move the AG says is illegal.
Grassroots groups hope to rally hundreds of public employees in the well of the state capitol today in opposition to the Republicans' draft pension bill. The event, getting underway at 5, aims to create a united front against plans to shift future workers to 401k-style plans, among other provisions. Co-organizer Nima Brewer...
This isn't a political issue. This is a Kentucky issue. And what we're asking for is we're asking for all public employees to come out, support us, listen to us, stand with us, united, and we're gonna make some headway on this.
Brewer says the groups will promote what she calls equitable tax reform, along with dozens of initiatives she says will generate more revenue without burdening the state taxpayers. Governor Matt Bevin is touring the state in an effort to drum up support for the GOP bill, arguing past governors have failed to make the hard choices needed to put the struggling retirement system at a sustainable course.
Open enrollment for the 2018 Marketplace Health Insurance plans at healthcare.gov begin today. Josh James has details.
The enrollment window is a passive one, meaning Kentuckians with health plans purchased through the exchange don't have to take action for their coverage to continue. But it starts as critics both at home and on Capitol Hill seek to strip away provisions of the Affordable Care Act. And Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin continues to tout his Medicaid expansion waiver, which he says will put the state back in the driver's seat. In Lexington Monday, the governor said he favors efforts to undo the 2010 health law in piecemeal fashion, if necessary.
I was a proponent of the Graham-Cassidy bill, not because it was perfect. As some pointed out, it was 90% of the same failing system that we already have under the Affordable Care Act. Fair enough, that's true, it is. But let's chip it away at it in pieces then.
While GOP repeal and replace votes fizzled, President Donald Trump has slashed Obamacare advertising and signaled an end to cost-sharing subsidies meant to help low-income enrollees pay for health care. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
According to one official, the effort to improve the Mountain Parkway is making good progress. Marshall Carrier is the project's manager. Carrier says crews have spent most of their time in recent months on improving and widening the highway in Magoffin County.
We started or completed construction on more than about a third of the project, and most of that's in Magoffin and Morgan. So of that 35 miles, a big chunk of that's pretty much centralized in Magoffin and Morgan County. So moving forward very well, and that includes Restaurant Row, which is a very busy area for us.
Work to build a new bridge that connects the parkway with U.S. 460, which is being realigned, is also continuing. Crews are also upgrading the parkway's intersections with Kentucky 7 and Kentucky 30. In total, the 46-mile Mountain Parkway project is a 750-mile effort that is expected to take 6 to 10 years to complete.
A data processing company has opened two new offices in a couple of eastern Kentucky counties. Censure, which provides support for various kinds of businesses, began operations Monday in Jackson County in the community of Anvil and in Whitley County town of Williamsburg. Censure Chairman Bill Deaton says those facilities will provide a number of jobs for area residents.
This is a plus, I think, for the not only Jackson County, but also Whitley County. We're going to be able to house 700 people in Williamsburg. And in this facility, initially, we're going to have 150.
Officials hope the new Censure facility will help Jackson County improve on its unemployment rate of 7.8%. In Whitley County, the jobless rate is 5.3%.
Bike route designers in northern Kentucky are collaborating with cyclists. Brian Courtney has the story.
The U.S. Bicycle Route System has collaborated with local cyclists to map out two routes being proposed by Tennessee and Kentucky. Routes 21 and 23 will run through Mason and Robertson counties, moving into Ohio after crossing the William Harsha Bridge. Members of the Limestone Cycling League were consulted for their input on the local route, which resulted in some changes. The Simon Kenton Memorial Bridge route was changed to the previously mentioned William Harsha Bridge. Officials said there is no expense for the designation since it used previously established routes. The only cost would be signage, but the bearer of that cost is still undecided. For WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
A 60-acre solar farm in Clark County was dedicated today at 10 a.m. by East Kentucky Power Cooperatives. The EKPC spokesman Nick Comer says the facility comes as the result of a repeated request over the years by the co-op's members for renewable energy sources, particularly in solar.
And it's something that we've looked at and had discussions about for a number of years, just looking at the cost, the reliability, how to make all that work, and how to make it work for all of our members. And we think that the cooperative solar model is a great way to do that.
The solar panels at the farm are available to be licensed by homes and businesses served by Kentucky's Touchstone Energy Cooperatives, 16 electrical co-ops serving more than 1 million Kentuckians in 87 counties.
Monday was National Weatherization Day, and Kentucky Power is reaching out to customers who want to save money this winter. Kentucky Power Communications Manager Allison Barker says fall is the perfect time to get a weatherization assessment of your home. The assessment checks for air leaks, gaps, and ways to potentially increase the efficiency of your home before the harsh winter months. Barker says KP has ways to help all of their customers.
One of the things that we find here in eastern Kentucky is that we have a lot of older homes, a lot of mobile homes, and often those homes are not well insulated. So this particular program is called our Targeted Energy Efficiency Program, and it helps folks that may have limited funds to make these energy efficiency upgrades.
Barker says Kentucky Power provides supplemental funding of up to $1,600 per heat pump, as well as other energy-saving measures for the program through the Kentucky Community Action Network of not-for-profit agencies and the Kentucky Housing Corporation's Weatherization Assistant Program. Taking a look at the weather for the rest of the week. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 4 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 54. Thursday, a chance of showers or sprinkles before 8 a.m., then a chance of sprinkles between 8 a.m. and noon, mostly cloudy with a high near 71. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 10 or 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 58. Friday, showers likely mainly between 11 a.m. and noon, cloudy with a high near 66. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 63 degrees in Inez, 58 degrees in Winchester and Lexington, 56 degrees in Moorhead, 55 degrees in Ashland, and it is 53 degrees in Flemingsburg.
On our feature segment today, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. In a continuation of his conversation with MSU English professor Sylvia Hinnenberg, this week Sylvia describes adjusting to life back in Germany as an English-speaking child, working as an au pair in California, returning again to Germany, and how she eventually came to settle, finally, in Moorhead.
When you were 10, your family returned to Germany, right?
That whole phase was incredibly hard. First of all, I was 6 feet tall at age 10, which was hard as a girl. Then I had this weirdo accent when I spoke German. So I found myself in English class having to do things like row, row, row your boat. And I thought, this is really kindergarten. And then I was in German class and we were doing Schiller and Goethe. I didn't even get a grade my first half year. And I never really recovered. My German, it only got really good once I started studying English. Because of the language emphasis, because I started caring, I started reading German books. So I had to really learn it the way a kid at Round County High School would learn Latin. That didn't come that easily to me because the expectations were not the same as when you learn a foreign language. The expectations were to write, you know, real papers on real literature at a very high level.
Your difficulty was with language, and yet here you are, you're a language professor.
I had considerable problems adjusting to my social environment, but it took 2 years. I remember it. First day of seventh grade, everything changed, and suddenly I was part of the gang, and suddenly I was happy again.
Continued living in Hanover through graduation?
I did. The next step for me was to be an au pair in the Bay Area in California, and that was the very best year of my life. The idea was for me to go for half a year. I mean, I wasn't there for a month and a half that I had my parents on the phone saying, "Can I stay longer?" So I stayed the whole year, and I was just torn apart when it was time to go. Sometime during that year, my father, he enrolled me at the University of Hildesheim. He knew I was getting pretty good at languages, so he enrolled me in this course called Technical Translation, which was dreadful. Everything about this, it couldn't have been worse. The contrast between California and what came after in every way, it was sunshine and rain. And I knew it was time for change. During this time, I worked at fairs and conventions a great deal. Then I moved my way up to being a spokesmodel. And in my break, I would go to all the stands and say, "Hey, here's who I am. Do you need an intern?" And most of them, of course, said no. But I was able to have a 2 or 3 or 4, I can't quite remember, a week internship near Orléans in France. So I enrolled at the University of Orléans. I stayed in applied foreign languages and English to the end, but I could tell that English was where my heart was. That is where I rediscovered my love for English. The next step was a doctorate. A doctorate in France means a French dissertation. So I was going to stay in France and write a dissertation in French on an American subject, being a German. I participated in a competition for a funded study abroad position at the University of Georgia in Athens, and that's what I got, and I'm so happy in retrospect. And I had a major professor take me under her wing, and I said, "Well, I'm a non-degree seeking student, so I'm headed back after this year." And she goes, "No, you're not." She didn't help me with any paperwork. She didn't give me money. She just believed in me. So I did all my whole PhD in Athens, Georgia.
In 1998?
That's when I then got my first job, and it was at Moorhead State University. I really have my dream job here. If I had had to write down what I wanted to teach one day when I was back in grad school, it would have been what I teach today.
Thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
It was a great pleasure, Adrian. Thank you.
It's 4:49 and 53 degrees in Moorhead. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Music, Theater, and Dance in the MSU School of Creative Arts presents a concert with Los Angeles recording artist, trumpeter Wayne Bergeron, and Greg Wing in the MSU Jazz Ensemble 1 in Button Auditorium at Morehead State University. The performance takes place at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, November 2nd. Admission is free and the public is invited. More information by calling 783-2473 or online at moreheadstate.edu/Caudill College.
One final game. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. This year's World Series ends tonight in Los Angeles as the Dodgers entertain the Houston Astros at 8:20 in the decisive Game 7 of what's been an exciting fall classic. LA pushed the series to the brink last night with a 3-1 victory over the Astros at home. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts is looking forward to entering uncharted territory.
Never been a part of a Game 7. This is when you're a young kid and you're kind of trying to play through all the heroes and the heroics and talking about a Game 7 in the World Series, and here we are. I know that we're happy to be at home.
While the Dodgers will be looking for their first World Championship since 1988, the Astros will be seeking their first championship in franchise history. Yu Darvish is expected to start on the mound for Los Angeles, while Lance McCullers will likely start Game 7 for Houston. The Morehead State softball team has completed its fall practices. After several weeks of watching his Eagles in action, Coach David Williams thinks he has a pretty good ball club on his hands.
Offensively, I think we're going to have some power, but we're also going to have more speed than we've had in the past. And defensively, we've got a really, really solid core group returning. So I'd like to think we're going to have really solid defense as well. And pitching, we've got a couple of really good pitchers back, but we've also added to that and we're getting more depth. So I'd like to say we're going to be really balanced.
The MSU softball team finished 2017 with a 26-22 overall record, but were only 6-12 in the OVC. The preseason AP College Basketball Top 25 poll is out. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson has more.
Duke starts the season as the number one team in the country for the second straight season. Michigan State, Arizona, and Kansas are ranked 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Kentucky starts the new season at number 5. Villanova, Wichita State, Florida, North Carolina, and Southern California round out the top 10. Louisville comes in at number 16 in the preseason poll. Kentucky will face 6 teams in the preseason top 25. In Kansas, West Virginia, Florida, Louisville, UCLA, and Texas A&M. For WMKY Sports, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
With his Eagles in a bye week, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure is looking for ways to reignite his 3-6 team and trying to finish the season strong. He admits that's not easy.
Trying to motivate young people and then trying to obviously inspire them to look past what we've done when we've come up short, and you got to find ways to inspire them and some ways to challenge them. But it's difficult. It's the most difficult part of the job, but we'll work hard at it. We got a lot of good kids. They haven't given up on us, so got to go back to work.
The MSU football team returns to action a week from this Saturday at Marist. Kentucky expects to have senior quarterback Steven Johnson for Saturday's game at Kroger Field against Ole Miss. Johnson did some light throwing yesterday after suffering a shoulder injury in the Wildcats' weekend victory against Tennessee. He admits the biggest test he and the UK offense will face against the Rebels will be their strong and active defensive line.
They are. They're really, really, really good guys on that team, especially that D-line, like you said. It's just we're just going to have to get to our blocks and get doing what we need to do offensively. Just to create blocks we did last week, just sustain them and stay on them.
At 6-2, UK is already bowl eligible. The Cats will be looking to also add to their 3-2 SEC mark on Saturday. The University of Tennessee football program is taking some criticism after reports of a UT offensive lineman playing with a concussion in last weekend's game against Kentucky. The website TheReadOptional.com is reporting that right tackle Brett Kendrick played nearly the entire second half with a concussion, even after the Tennessee staff was aware of the injury. Tennessee head coach Butch Jones addressed the reports at a press conference earlier today.
We would never knowingly put a student-athlete in harm's way. Our medical staff has full authority on removing players from competition, but also have the authority to return players to competition. I have absolutely no say in these decisions.
Things could get worse for the Volunteers, as a large group of disgruntled fans have taken to Twitter with the hashtag EmptyKneeling as a pitch to boycott Saturday's homecoming game against Southern Mississippi if Jones is not fired before the game. UT is 3-5 this season and winless in 5 SEC games. Some notes from the NFL: with a growing pile of turnovers and a 3-game losing streak in hand, The Denver Broncos made a change at quarterback as Brock Osweiler was named to start over Trevor Siemian for Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, Brian Hoyer is back with the New England Patriots less than a day after being released by the San Francisco 49ers. Hoyer was released by the Niners on Tuesday after they acquired quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo from the Patriots in exchange for a 2018 second-round draft choice. And Cincinnati Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis says he was relieved when an attempt to trade backup quarterback A.J. McCarron to the Cleveland Browns was not completed by the trade deadline yesterday. Finally, in sports, the Rhyon County football team is hard at work as it prepares for their Class 4A playoff opener at Scott High School. Coach Kelly Ford says the Vikings spent much of last week resting and recovering, but he notes they did get in some light workouts.
We went back to the basics. I mean, we always got to touch back on the fundamentals of the game and make sure our offense and defense and our special teams are still intact. And we got some film early on Scott High, and we went ahead and started preparing for those guys and just made the best of our off week.
The 3-7 Vikings will face a Scott team that is 7-3 this season and scoring an average of over 33 points a game. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Volleyball closes out their home schedule, hosting Eastern Kentucky at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, November 7th, and Austin Peay at 2 p.m. on Saturday, November 11th. You can get tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. equities closed mostly higher after the Federal Reserve kept interest rates unchanged, as had been expected, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 57.77 at 23,435.01. The S&P 500 was up 4.1 at 2579.36. The NASDAQ was down 11.14 to finish at 6716.53. Estee Lauder was the best performing individual stock in the S&P 500 today, rising over 9%. This after the company posted better than expected quarterly earnings. And Envision Healthcare, on the other hand, was the biggest laggard in the S&P 500, dropping a whopping 34% on weaker than expected earnings. As mentioned, the Fed kept interest rates unchanged as the market expectations for a rate hike today were very low. However, expectations for a December rate hike from the Fed are now nearly 100%, according to the CME Group. In economic news, the U.S. private sector added 235,000 jobs in October, according to the ADP and Moody's report for that month. And economists going into the report expected a gain of 200,000 jobs. And the ADP report usually serves as a preview to the government's monthly jobs report, which is scheduled for release this Friday morning at 8:30. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.2% to finish at $54.27 a barrel. Gold was up 0.5% to finish at $1,276.90 an ounce. Overseas, markets were strong in Europe with the Stock 600 index up 0.4%. And in Asia, markets were up as well with the Nikkei up 1.86% and the Hang Seng index finishing with a gain of 1.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Dow DuPont. The worst performers were Apple and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers, as mentioned, Estee Lauder and Devon Energy, and the worst performers, Envision Healthcare and CenturyLink. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 75 cents at 68.73, CSX down 28 cents at 50.15, AEP down 42 cents at 73.99, AK Steel down 26 cents at 4.33, and Marathon Petroleum was up $1.17 to finish at 60.91. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
The Moorhead Theater Guild presents Robert Fulghum's Uh-Oh, Here Comes Christmas at the Rhyon County Arts Center. Presented the weekends of November 10th, 11th, and 12th, and 17th, 18th, and 19th, 7:30 on Fridays and Saturday, and 2 p.m. on Sundays, this charming show takes a funny and heartwarming look to find the spirit of the holidays amid the stress and chaos of December. Tickets at the Rhyon County Arts Center and at the door, call 783-9857 to reserve or visit online at moorheadtheater.org.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Cody Robinson, Brian Courtney, Kinsey Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Braxton Howard. WUKY's Josh James chipped in, and our feature segment came from Adrian Swain, and Sylvia Hindenburg. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.